We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Those words may be familiar to you, some of you who are a little older, like I am at least. A song written by Bill Gaither a number of years ago, "We Have This Moment." And I thought the words seemed so appropriate to what we look at out of Scripture today. We have this moment to hold in our hands, to touch it as it slips through our fingers like sand. You know, what a perspective. We have the present moment, and it's important that we value it. In fact, the present moment is the only real certainty that we have in this age. When you get down to think about it, we've got this moment right now, but we don't even have the promise of the next moment. But we do have this moment, and this moment is ripe with possibilities. You think about all the things you can do in this moment that we call today, and there are just tons and tons of things. This moment offers us the possibility of encouraging someone who is gathered here today that needs a word of encouragement. We have this moment to have a life-changing conversation with someone. And so that's an important thing we can do in this moment. We have this moment to renew a commitment. We are here to worship the Lord and to share together, and we think about our own commitment. Maybe it's not what it once was, so here's a wonderful opportunity to renew that commitment in this moment. And we have this moment to encounter the one true living God as we've come here in worship, and also to encounter His Son, Jesus Christ. And those are just a few of the possibilities that this present moment offers. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. We find that truth in Isaiah 55. If you're not turned there, I encourage you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 55 because we'll be looking at several verses there. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Thinking about the present moment and its opportunities, we can think about moments gone by that have kind of slipped through our fingers like sand. And as we go throughout life, I think that there are none of us who do not have some regrets about missed opportunities concerning the moment and something we could have done at that time. And I, like anyone else, have my share of them. I'm not going to drag all of them out and share them with you today. But I certainly have regrets over opportunities I had that I let slip away. I think back to, for example, to name a few, in high school, I regret that I was not a better witness as a Christian. I very much hid my light under a bushel. I think about friendships I've made over the years, many of them with people at a distance, and friendships I have neglected, and I have regrets over that. I think about words spoken. I think about word or actions that I've taken, and some regrets, wishing I hadn't said what I did or done what I had done, or regrets over not saying certain words or not taking certain actions. So certainly, thinking about the opportunity of the moment, I have regrets over not utilizing those moments as I should have. But again, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today, right now. Again, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know, when we have an abundance of something, we take it for granted, don't we? Let's use a real common example that we all can relate to, oil. When there's an abundance of oil, gas is cheap. We go down and fill up our cars, and we don't have to think about the impact on our budget. We drive wherever we want, go places, do things. But we're finding out it's not a limitless supply of oil. And so the prices keep going higher and higher, headed up toward that $4 a gallon mark. In fact, it was over $4 in a couple places in California I was at last week. And so I thought, the way it is there, it'll probably be here eventually. And so when the prices go up, when there's a scarcity of oil, and it begins to impact us, we start to think more and more about what we should do with it. For example, when we're paying that much for gas, we think about the trip to the store or going out to the movies or to dinner. Is that really that important to make that trip? We start to think about that because we know we need to make it count because it's become scarce. Same thing applies to time. When we are young, time stretches out limitless before us, doesn't it? There's no end to time. Life just keeps on going and going, but then we get about middle age. It's not quite as limitless. We get past middle age, and it sounds a little negative, but it's real. We realize we have more days behind us than in front of us. And so we begin to realize that time is not limitless. We realize that we need to utilize what we have very carefully and literally to invest that time that we have available to us. We should do it all of our lives, but as we see how limited and precious it is, we try to make it count even more. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Make the most of your time, Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. In other words, seize the moment. If you're going to make the most of your time, seize the moment. Recognize the value of the time that we have right now. Make this present moment really count. Again, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's verse 6 out of Isaiah 55. And I want you to look also at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The message that Isaiah has for us is seize the moment, seek the Lord while he may be found, because we have this moment, and because we have this moment, this is the time to seek out the Lord. Call upon him while he is near, because he is near to us, and we have the opportunity to be near to him. God is ready for us to seize the moment so that he can seize the moment with us. Isn't that interesting? That's how God works. He's ready, he's available, but God will not push himself upon us. And so God is ready, God is waiting, but we have to seize the moment and seek him out. And when we do that, he'll seek us out. He's ready to seize the moment when we are ready to seize the moment as well. And so as we do that, there are certain things we need to do in coming before the Lord, and that is that we need to turn away from wicked thoughts and behavior. Because God isn't any of those things. God is not wicked in his thoughts or in his behavior, and so therefore, if we want to seek him out, that's the condition. Turn away from those things that are running in your mind, those things that you've done that are displeasing. Turn away from those and seek out the Lord in the present moment, because he's ready to seize the moment with each one of us. One other thing that God wants us to know about here as we seize the moment, as we seek the opportunity to draw near to him, and that is that we really have to come to terms with the fact that we're just not on the same page with God. That may not be easy for us to admit. We may look at ourselves as good church-going Christian people. We're pretty good, yeah, but when we come down to realize that God is far different than we are, even in the righteousness that we have in Christ, that's what allows us to be near to him. But verses 8 and 9, God would remind us how it is between him and us. For he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, I want you to draw near to me. I want to draw near to you, but let's face some important facts first. And that is, literally, we're not on the same page. Your thoughts just aren't even my thoughts. Your ways just are not my ways at all. We are a vast difference apart in the way we think, the way we act. And so God says, you got to know that fact before we can go any further. You got to come to terms with who and what you are in your humanity. Sinful humanity. We have to face up to those facts, he says, before we can begin to really draw near to him. And so we have a problem. It's a pretty serious problem that we face. And I guess the best illustration I can think of that is, supposing you have a good friend you want to have lunch with today. And that's a good idea. You want to draw near to your friend and have lunch together. Well, the only problem is your friend lives in Australia. And so for your friend to be that far away to have lunch with your friend, there's a problem. There's a great distance. Somehow we're going to have to work this out. We're going to have to get together. And it's kind of that same way with God. We want to draw near to God. And God wants to draw near to us, but there's this vast difference between His ways, His thoughts, and so forth. And so there has to be something done to bridge that gap. Of course, we know from New Testament, Jesus Christ has done that. And that seems to kind of be the message we get into in verses 10 and 11. As he talks about the fact that his word is the solution to the vast difference that exists. For he talks about, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he says, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God talks about His Word being the solution. He gives this wonderful illustration of snow and rain. As they come down from the clouds, as they water the earth and cause growth before evaporating and returning back, God says, so it is with my Word. My Word goes out. My word is the solution to our differences. My word accomplishes the growth, produces that which is pleasing, and works out this problem that we have. And again, as I think about God's word, I think in particular of his word, Jesus. John chapter 1 talks about that word, that idea, that plan, that which God would communicate. And his word, according to verse 14, became flesh. In a very real sense, God's word personified, which became our solution, that word that went out and accomplished what God wanted it to. And so there is growth, there is life, there is goodness with us because of what God's word would do. And so God's word goes out, God's word accomplishes exactly what he wants his word to accomplish. God's word is going out here today. We have gathered here today to pay attention to his word. We're looking in particular at God's Word in Isaiah. God's Word is going out as we read it, as it is spoken, and God's Word is accomplishing what He wants it to, provided we're open to it. And so that's a question to consider for this moment. What is God's Word doing right now? Are we allowing God's Word to work in our hearts, in our lives? Is it producing what God wants it to? Are we even starting to resist it a little bit? This gets personal, but are we beginning already to look at our watch and to say, maybe he's getting a little long-winded this morning. Maybe our time here is getting a little too long. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do this afternoon, where I'm going for lunch. Whoa, if we begin to move in that direction, we start to resist God's word. Again, the moment that we have, the moment to focus, God's word, it's going into our hearts and our lives. Let's let it accomplish what God wants it to. Let's seize this moment for the Word of God. Let's let the Word of God fall into our lives like rain upon dry ground. Let's soak up God's Word. Let's let God's Word wash over us, produce the growth and the results that He wants it to. The psalmist said, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's important to treasure God's Word, to realize how important it is, how life-changing it is, and to hide it, internalize it in our lives so that it can grow, so that it can produce what God wants it to. Jesus prayed for his disciples before he left the earthly scene concerning God's word, and he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus knew how very, very important that word of God was for his followers, is for us, his followers, and so he prayed that prayer. He asked of the Father that his truth would sanctify and set apart his followers, would cleanse them and purify them and make them what they ought to be. Sanctify them in your truth. And he clarifies, your truth is the word. And so that word that comes from God, that word which we read, that is truth. It is absolute truth designed to change and impact us. And so there again, God calls us in this moment to get into his word and to let his word get into us so that God's word will accomplish exactly what he desires. And as God's word grows, as it produces a crop in our lives, as we go out it has the opportunity to impact others. And that is the message of verses 12 and 13 here in Isaiah 55. For he says, you will go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. What an interesting illustration. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. God's word forms God's character in our lives. As his word comes into us, as it penetrates deeply into our lives, it produces a crop. There is the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it's interesting. I often remember this series that we shared some time ago. Isaiah is talking about joy and talking about peace in our lives. That is fruit of the Spirit. And so as God's word comes in, as it grows, as it produces that crop, we go out with it. And as we go out, as Isaiah descriptively shares with us, all nature really rejoices with us as the joy and the peace goes out as we have it internalized in our lives. And so nature yearns for that which we have as God's word works in each one of our lives. And so we go out, and these qualities go out and impact others. Reminded in Luke 19 of something that Jesus said as he came into the city of Jerusalem on what we call to be Palm Sunday. And it says, as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Kind of that illustration here in Isaiah. God's people going out with God's word growing in their lives, nature resounding with that. And that seems to be the kind of thing here that when Jesus came in, a picture of him coming in triumph in the kingdom of God, as Jesus went into Jerusalem, his followers are shouting out and praising and so forth. And yet the religious leaders, indignant about it, says, "Tell them to be quiet." But he says, if they're quiet, nature will resound with praise. Again, that's the kind of imagery we have in Isaiah. Nature wants to resound in praise because nature of sorts looks forward to the time when all will be changed, even as we are going to one day be changed. I'm reminded of Romans 8:22. The whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. You know, I've often read that verse and didn't realize the significance of the last phrase. The whole creation groans and suffers together until now. When is now? Now is the time when God is working with his people, when his word is in our lives bringing forth fruit as the citizens of the kingdom of God awaiting now the full coming of the government of God. Nature stopped groaning when we came into the world as the disciples, the citizens of the kingdom of God. And so there's some real significance in that verse. You know, in a real sense, the best hope for this world that it has today to solve the problems it has in terms of things like pollution and global warming is the presence of the citizens of the kingdom of God in the world today. Really. Because the fact that we are here as its citizens, the king will one day come to be with his citizens and change its citizens, and nature will be changed at that time. The process will begin at that time. And so what a joy, the Word of God at work in our lives, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit, preparing the way for the changes that ultimately come when God's living Word, His Son, comes back. What an interesting thing. Again, all of this information that's exciting for us in this present moment, as we think about God's Word and God's words working in our lives in this moment, we begin to see it with greater clarity. We begin to experience it with more fullness, the possibilities and the promise of this present moment. There was a counselor I once talked to that indicated that he thought that most of the stress and the anxiety problems that people face is because they don't live in the moment. In fact, his phrase was, most people live a frame or two into the future. And because of that, there's additional stress and anxiety. Instead of savoring the moment, they're already living into the future. And he gave an example, like first thing in the morning, if you're taking a shower or eating breakfast, you're already thinking about what you're going to do when you get to work or what's going to happen later on in the day. You're a frame or two already into the future instead of living in the present moment. Of course, the advice was, if you want to bring stress down, if you want to relieve anxiety, live in the moment. And that's good biblical advice. Seize the moment. Again, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seize the moment with the Lord. That in itself is a great help to anxiety and stress. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The moment. And how important the moment is. To live in the moment is to see the ripeness of the possibilities that God has for us. Someone has said that there are decisions to be made. There is a banquet spread, but the guest must come. There is pardon available, but the wicked person must forsake his own way and seek the Lord while he may be found. No one need be an outsider, but neither will anyone be forced to enter, and the invitation to do so will not be extended indefinitely. Words to remind us how important the moment really is. Things that can happen in the moment. There are decisions to be made in the moment. As he said, there is a banquet that is spread, the invitation of God for all to come. But it's important for guests to seize the moment and to respond in the moment. Forgiveness, pardon is available in the moment. But in the moment, a wicked person needs to turn away from wickedness. And one needs to come and experience repentance and come to the Lord in the moment. As he said, nobody needs to be an outsider, but it's important to seize the moment to be part of the family of God and to receive the invitation to come into the family of God. Again, we must seize the moment. We have this moment. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow may never come. So again, as we focus on the moment this morning, let me ask you this important question, and that is, what is the Lord telling you to do in this moment? And I've listed that question on your outline, and I think it's a very important one to consider. What is the Lord telling you to do in this moment, as we've taken this moment to focus on His Word and allow it to wash over us and to come into our lives and to give new insights and new understandings? What is God saying for you concerning this moment? Think about it. Listen to that voice. Write something down as he speaks to you. Here's what I want you to do in this day, in this moment. I won't presume what it might be, but think about it as he speaks to you. Write it down. And of course, if we're going to seize the moment, don't let this day pass without doing that which he is saying for you to do in this moment. Writing it down is one thing. That's a good thing. But to take action and to really seize the moment is the thing that's most important. Again, let his word have its full effect on your life. Don't resist it. Don't shut it out, but welcome it like rain upon dry ground, and let it have its full effect. Let the fullness of God's word really grow within you today, especially. And let it lead you out of here in a few moments with joy and with peace. And allow that word which is growing, which has grown hopefully even more in these moments, let that word go out and be a blessing to others. So that they encounter the Word of God. So that they can have the quality of joy and of peace as can be found through the living Word, God's Son, and regular contact with God's written Word as we have devoted ourselves here today.